Thanks, eh?
Good morning, guys. How are you guys? I'm awesome. Praise and worship was awesome today, wasn't it? Okay, so I'd like to share a testimony. I have a friend who recently tried committing suicide. He wanted to actually commit suicide. It was a serious matter, and it was the Sunday that Pastor Mark taught us about suicide. So I find that very, very amazing, because when I talked to him, he told me about the stuff that he had been going through and how it bothered him a lot. And when I thought about it, I thought about the slap, not the literal slap, the S-L-A-P. And I went through that, and I realized that it was actually serious. And I talked to him. I went through it with him. I told him, I'm not Superman. I'm not Spider-Man. I'm not Iron Man, but I'll always be there. Even if he wants to call at 4 a.m., I'm still going to be there for him, because I love him, and he's a friend of mine. And I learned something, that it doesn't really matter just how much you're there, as long as you show that you care. When you care for them, they'll always feel loved. And with people like that, you need to always be there for them, no matter what. Always be there and help them get through it. Thank you. I'd like to hand it over to Tabile.
Still our firefighters series, and right now, I'm going to call upon the amazing, the incredible, the beautiful CK. And that's how you introduce a speaker. Morning, guys. How are you doing? Today, we're going to be looking at fighting drugs. Have you guys ever had any interaction with either an addict or drugs or anything like that? Yes? Show of hands? Okay, don't worry, we won't judge you. You're just wondering, maybe it's part of your lifestyle or not. So we've been looking at different superheroes, and if there's anything we've learned from the last 5-6 firefighter series, is every superhero has an issue, right? They're called to be wonderful people, but they got issues. There's always like a kink in their armor or something like that. So I have some chocolate to give away. If you're a leader, you're not allowed to answer this. Oh, you already know? Okay, who's the superhero? No. Okay, you're close. No. No. You're close. Like, the word is close.
Black Eagle.
Black Eagle, no. No. Okay. No, no, Superman. Keep going. He's a very unconventional. Huh? Oh, gosh. No, you were in the first service. I can't give it to you. No. Okay. I'm thinking of a hint. Smith is the character. There we go, Hancock. Okay. And because you all tried so hard, we're going to share this one, right? I don't know if there's enough, but we're going to try and share it. Okay, I'll give it to you guys, because you were also very close.
Cat.
Oh, okay, so you can share it with them. I'm sure I can find. Okay, I owe you guys chocolate. Deal, right? The two of you. I promise you I'll give you chocolate. So our superhero is Hancock. How many of you have watched? I know, right? Now when you see it's Will Smith, you get who it is. How many of you have watched this movie? Look, almost everyone's watched this movie. So in case you haven't, here's a little teaser, a trailer. What is it about Will Smith that makes it look like that's the way he is in real life? Like, you could meet him in the street and like, hey, can I help you? Anyway, so if you haven't watched that movie, you must go watch it. It's a really cool film. And basically, Hancock, John Hancock, is an alcoholic. He's like drunk. All he does is he drinks, but he's a superhero. So he has powers like flight. He's invincible. When he gets shot at, the bullets don't go through him. And he has super strength. He fights crime, but unfortunately, he causes so much damage. Like, even people are, like, screaming at him. Like, because he gets there, he saves lives. But, like, look, you destroyed the plane and the train and all of that. So he's not really the kind of superhero you'd expect, because he's just a drunk. Like, superheroes are not supposed to be like that, right? They're supposed to be perfect. But thankfully, at one of the crime scenes, he meets this guy called Ray, who is a PR specialist, and Ray offers to help Hancock transform himself. And so they develop a relationship, and through the process of the film, Hancock goes from being drunk to a superhero who's nice and saves people's lives, and everybody loves him because he's not destroying the city anymore. He's actually saving lives. So today we're dealing with drugs and how to fight drugs. It's important for us to first define what an addict is. So an addict is a person who is addicted to an activity, a habit, or a substance, so also known as a drug addict. But what is addiction? Addiction is becoming physiologically or psychologically dependent on an addictive substance such as alcohol or narcotics. So if we use Hancock as an example, Hancock's drug of choice was alcohol. He took it in excess, and it affected the kind of person he is. Now, earlier this week when I was sort of reading about addiction and sort of researching what addiction is, I found a very interesting statistic about South Africa. One in every 10 South Africans are addicted. Can you believe that? One in every 10. And their drug of choice is either alcohol or dacha. I don't know about you guys, but I know people who abuse both of those. And for those of you who don't know what dacha is, it's commonly known as weed, which people smoke a lot. And what we've been doing while we've tackled the different tough issues, we've looked at celebrities and the kind of people who've actually gone through these issues. And some faces there you recognize. Do you guys know who that is? Michael Jackson, Robert Downey Jr., Iron Man himself, Ben Affleck, Charlie Sheen. I don't know if all of you know who Charlie Sheen is from 2 and a Half Men. And Gerard Butler. Gerard Butler was the biggest surprise for me. I was just like, he looks like this sane, very straight and narrow guy, but he's been an addict. And most of them are in recovery. Unfortunately, 2 out of all of those have passed away. And the women as well. You know, it's not just about the guys. We have Amy Winehouse, Whitney Houston, Kristen Dunst. Remember her from Spider-Man? Lindsay Lohan, very popular story. And most recently, Mary-Kate Olsen. So it doesn't discriminate. Addiction affects everyone, regardless of who you are, right? So I want you to just take a moment and share with the person next to you. Have you or someone close to you taken drugs? Some very interesting, I'm just sort of eavesdropping on conversations, and it's quite interesting, like ever. Have you ever tried, ever? It's so funny. But it's interesting to find out that most of you either know someone or have been in an environment where someone is an addict or something like that. It's not like this thing that happens to those people. It's sort of like in your circle of either friends or family, you've heard of or know someone. And I just want to quickly share my own personal story. Don't worry, I'm not an addict, recovering or otherwise. But once when I was about 19, I used to go to this prayer group, and it was like every Monday. And one night I came back home at about 9:30, which was when we'd finish, and we lived in a double-story house at the time, and you'd walk in through the door, and there's like a little corridor, and then you get into the living room. And as I walked in, closed the door, then went through the door in the living room and walked into the sitting room, I just felt this punch come into the right side of my face. Now, you guys watch movies. It is nothing like the movies. It doesn't happen in slow motion. There are no sound effects. It just, like, it's the most excruciating pain ever I've ever experienced in my life. And that was my big brother who punched me in the face. And basically, he was accusing me of standing outside his bedroom door whispering, like early in the morning. And I was like, what the hell do you mean? And what I didn't know at the time is that my brother had been using drugs for quite a while. And one of the side effects is you become schizophrenic, especially if you're using cocaine, which is what he was using. And unfortunately, I had never been exposed to drugs, so I didn't understand. I was just a crying mess after that. And it was the first of a series of many events. He tried to stab my dad once. It got so bad that my parents actually had to put him in a jail cell to control his behavior, to control his addiction, and get him help. So for me, it's a very real thing because I've lived with an addict. And as we talk about drugs, I'm going to just share snippets of my story, which is really my brother's story, and how he's recovered, because he's recovered now as we speak. So, understanding drugs. I want us to just take a look at why people abuse drugs. And the first thing is, I want to show you a short clip of some teenagers in the States who did a little confession of how they started abusing drugs and what the reasons were for them using drugs. Take a look.
It was around when I was 13 or 14, and you kind of find yourself trying to pick and choose your friends. And also at the same time, you know, you're not really worried about what you want to accomplish at that time, but what people you want to hang out with.
I wanted to fit in.
Wasn't a popular kid in school, and it made me forget about all that.
You know, like, oh, yeah, everybody else is doing it, so I'm going to do it.
Friends were doing it.
I just wanted to jump right in and have fun. I did drugs because it seemed like it was fun.
It was the cool thing to do.
The cool thing to do was to get high, go to parties.
Growing up, you know, you're struggling.
Couldn't deal with life,
so I didn't have to deal with life.
I wouldn't listen to anyone.
I was stubborn.
Like, as a rebellious thing.
This is what the rebel kids were doing.
I just wanted to see what it was like.
I started experimenting with it.
Experimenting with friends.
First tried it because I was bored.
I was always up to try something new.
You know, when I was growing up, we had this program. It was just say no, just say no.
People are just saying no, but they're not saying why.
It's like telling a person no, and then they go do it.
Sparked my interest on drugs.
I knew that they were bad, and I always heard about this addiction, but I didn't know what it meant.
That's probably the number one reason why I did drugs in the first place. I just didn't know.
Like, the most common thing that those guys say, it looked like a cool thing, I wanted to fit in. It's like very common, the number of things we do because it's a cool thing. You see someone with a nice hairstyle, hey, let me go do that, it looks cool. And that's how a lot of people end up doing drugs. But one of the major reasons is people do it to cope with life. It's a coping mechanism. So you're trying to ease either stress or anxiety or depression or anger or any one of the issues we talked about in the last couple of weeks. You're thinking, I just want to forget how I'm feeling. Some people do it out of curiosity. You're just wondering, what is this thing? Let me try it out. I want to know what it feels like to try it out. Some people do it to have a good time. So people are going out to a party and you're thinking, hey, this is what we do. Let's have some, I don't know, ecstasy or whatever. And they're thinking it's part of the lifestyle of going out and partying. Some people do it because their friends are doing it. So maybe someone who's really close to you, just like if Tabile bought a really nice color of lipstick from MAC, I tell her, hey, where'd you get it? And I want to go get it. People do the same thing with drugs. Like, oh, you tried it. I want to try it too. Sometimes people do it because it makes you look cool, apparently. You don't want to be the odd one out. You want to look like everyone else in school, and you want to look like everyone, you want to be part of the cool crowd. So you try it out, and sometimes society makes it look cool. I don't know how many of you watch TV series, but Weeds is a very popular TV series. And don't those guys look cool with their nice poses? Like, Breaking Bad, I don't know if you guys have ever... There we go! I knew there were some people in the house who recognized Breaking Bad. And just for those of you who don't know what Breaking Bad is, I'm going to tell you a short story about it. And just to be honest, it's like one of my favorite series, but it's just so wrong. Like, the whole premise is this guy on the left is a chemistry teacher, and this guy on the right is a student of his who dropped out of school. And so they hook up together, and they drive into the desert in a caravan, and they start cooking crystal meth. And because he's a chemistry teacher, he knows the chemistry behind it. And you watch it and you think, ooh, so fascinating. But really, it's about drugs and selling drugs to people and people who are addicted. So it's just like society makes it look cool. This series has won a lot of awards, like at the Golden Globes and stuff like that. It's like one of the biggest TV series ever. So society sometimes makes it look cool and you feel the pressure of, oh, I must do it, or oh, I must look like one of the cool kids. And there's a very interesting story about Russell Brand. You guys know who Russell Brand is? Actor, comedian, of course. And he was actually an addict. And he has a campaign about addiction to recovery that's called the Say No Foundation. And I'm going to show you a short clip where he talks about why he did drugs.
Your big thing is give it up.
Give it up. It's a fund within Comic Relief to assist people with drug and alcohol problems in getting into abstinence-based recovery, to help them give it up, as it were. From the onset of adulthood, drugs and alcohol were my way of just coping with the world. And I think increasingly it's seen less as an extreme problem and more... everyone knows someone that's got alcohol and drug issues somewhere in their lives or their family. But for me, drugs and alcohol were a solution to an emotional and perhaps even spiritual problem, a feeling literally of disease, unhappiness, inability to cope with life. 10 years ago, I think, you know, I was told when I went into treatment that I had, if I didn't stop taking drugs immediately, within 6 months I'd be dead, in prison, or in a lunatic asylum. I think the reason that I took drugs and drank is the same reason that anyone that takes drugs and drinks to excess was that inside they're unhappy. I'm not talking about recreational drug use or recreational drinking, that's none of my business. I'm talking about people that are doing it because there's pain inside them. The reason I did it is because I couldn't cope with life. I needed some kind of anesthetic. Mm. And unless I have some methodology to replace that anesthetic, drinking and taking drugs is my only solution.
It's interesting that he says people use it like an anesthetic. Do you guys know what an anesthetic is? It's like when you go into hospital and you're being operated on, they give you something so that you don't feel when they're cutting your skin open or whatever. And basically people take drugs just so that you don't feel the emotional or the spiritual pain or that thing. You just don't want to feel like that anymore. And there's actually a risk factor. Are you a potential drug addict? And there's a couple of things you can look out for. So family history of addiction. Robert Downey Jr., his son is an addict. Could it be that it's because of his history of drug addiction that it was passed down to him? Maybe it's abuse, physical abuse, emotional abuse, maybe neglect. You feel alone. Or maybe you've gone through a traumatic experience. Maybe someone you know committed suicide and you just feel horrible and you want to numb that pain, so you decide to take a drug. For other people, it's a mental disorder like anxiety, and you just don't know how to cope with your anxiety, and so you resort to drugs. For others, it's early use of drugs. Maybe when you were growing up, you grew up in an environment where people were using drugs, and that's just the way of life, and so you start to use drugs as well. But let's take a look at how drugs affect you physically. First thing is you start to neglect your responsibilities. So you have your homework, you stop doing your homework. Maybe you have to go to work, you stop going to work. You start failing your exams continually because of your drug use. Sometimes people start to act very uncharacteristically. Someone who's usually so happy-go-lucky, they're withdrawn and they're angry all the time, or they're depressed, which is so out of character. People often misuse money and things. One of the things my brother did is he just started selling off my mom's stuff, and no one ever, like, we never even noticed. Just like, what happened to that record player that used to be here? And, oh, you remember that CD that Dad got me? Just stuff vanishes, because when you're an addict, you're looking for money to buy your next fix, to give to your dealer, to give you something. But you can't go, hey, mom, I need $20 to go buy a joint. So you just start selling stuff off. Sometimes people become very secretive, or they have suspicious behavior. So they're going to sneak around. They're going to avoid eye contact with you. They start being more private. They're like locking themselves up indoors. I remember this one Christmas where we never saw my brother. Like, he was around. He was in the house. But he stayed in his room the entire time. Like, he'd come to the kitchen, get food, and then vanish. Never have a conversation with anyone. And then everyone was just afraid to speak to him because we didn't know how he was going to react. So it actually changes the character of the person, and people start looking at you like you're very different. There's also problems in relationships. You can't hang out with your regular friends or with your family anymore because they don't do drugs. So you're sort of going through these arguments of, why don't we see you anymore? You become so, like, you hide away from everyone. And that's what it does. It takes you away from your relationships and you lose your friends. But I want us to look at how drugs affect us spiritually, because at the end of the day, we here in church live spiritual lives. What the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 6:19 is, do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you received from God? You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Honor God with your bodies. When you choose to become an addict, or when you choose to start abusing a drug, you're taking away attention from Christ. You're taking the house that God has given you that he lives in, and you're putting someone else in that house. So imagine if the living room is where people chill. Or say, for instance, if a friend comes over to visit and they're going to sleep over, what's the first thing you do? You go clean out the dirty laundry in your bedroom. You go clean out the trash, right? You want to make it look prim and proper so that they think, oh, this is how CK usually lives. But when you're an addict, you're basically saying to God, come hang out and have a sleepover with me in my ugly-looking bedroom where there's, like, drugs on the side and stuff like that. You're basically defiling God's temple. He's created us so that the Holy Spirit can live in us. So we take out all the nonsense and have the Holy Spirit dwell in a clean temple. And basically, when you choose to abuse drugs, You're worshiping an idol. Whatever belongs to your earthly nature is idolatry. That's what Colossians 3:5 says. So anything that you choose to focus your energy and your time on, that you're making an idol. You're taking focus away from God and focusing on this thing. Not all idols are addictions, but every addiction is an idol because you've chosen to make it the one thing that you live for. You're living for your next fix. You're looking for that next joint. The Bible in Romans 6, 5 to 7 says we should no longer be slaves to sin. You're basically letting the drugs enslave in you. The drugs become your slave, become your master, and you're a slave to them because you're constantly chasing that high. You're constantly chasing that feeling of, I just want to feel numb. I don't want to think about it. And yet your old self has been crucified with Christ. Your old self shouldn't exist anymore. You should be living this life where you're a holy temple, that your only desire is to have God dwell in you. And the addiction comes and fights that. It also corrupts good character. When you start to hang out with people who are addicts, they're changing your personality. They're changing who you are. 1 Corinthians 15:33 says, bad company corrupts good character. Bad company corrupts good morals. You start to hang out with other addicts and that environment is not healthy because you start to do more and more of it and you start to become, your time is just filled with getting high and you live from one high to another. But your life also gets messed up. Like, you don't, now think about it. You're no longer relating to your friends the way you did. Your family members can't speak to you because you're just like angry all the time and aggro all the time. And like, what's life about now? Like, addiction leads to very severe consequences. And a lot of people don't realize this when they start to abuse drugs. And for Hancock, it landed him in jail. Because he became, his character changed so much that it stopped being about him being a superhero helping people. And it just turned into this arrogant guy who happens to have superpowers. Who just does what he wants, when he wants, how he wants. And if it wasn't for him going into jail, his life would not have been transformed through the PR guy, Ray, helping him. And there's actually a real-life story, because we all know Hancock is a movie. Do you guys know who this is? Anyone recognize him? Lance Armstrong. So if you don't know, he's holding up seven fingers there. Lance Armstrong cycled the Tour de France for a very long time, and he was a champion of that race seven times. He was like, he's considered as the world's greatest cyclist that ever lived. And during this period, I think it was when he was at like his second or his third win, he was diagnosed with cancer. And he actually beat the cancer. And he started a foundation called Live Strong. And he was like the director. And he's managed to raise so much money for people. Like, what a legacy. But you know, it all went south, unfortunately. Because for years, people kept asking him, how is it possible for you to have won so many races? Are you taking performance-enhancing drugs? And he said, no, I'm not. No, I'm not. I'm not taking it. But early last year, he finally admitted to being an addict. So take a listen to his interview with Oprah.
So let's start with the questions that people around the world have been waiting for you to answer. And for now, I'd just like a yes or no.
Okay.
Okay. Yes or no? Did you ever take banned substances to enhance your cycling performance?
Yes.
Yes or no? Was one of those banned substances EPO?
Yes.
Did you ever blood dope or use blood transfusions to enhance your cycling performance?
Yes.
Did you ever use any other banned substances like testosterone, cortisone, or human growth hormone?
Yes.
Yes or no? In all seven of your Tour de France victories, did you ever take banned substances or blood dope?
Yes.
I know, I'm just watching you shaking your head. That was my reaction. I watched this interview in like, I think in the back of your mind when someone is accused of something, and I'm going to make reference to the Oscar trial because it's the most recent thing. Like somewhere in the back of your mind, you're just hoping. You're just hoping beyond doubt that there's an explanation. But the reality is we were created sinful. And it's so easy for you to fall into that trap if you don't rely on Christ. The saddest thing about his story is it also affected his family. Because think about it. When you're a famous person, everybody knows who you are. And you go to school, guys will be like, hey, I know your dad. Is he a drug addict? and you're like, no. Like, what do you say to people? Because your first instinct is you want to defend your dad. And so I want you guys to listen to the story of Lance Armstrong telling his 13-year-old son about his addiction.
What do you tell Luke? You've been fighting this. Luke's 13. You've been fighting this thing his entire life. What do you tell Luke?
I said, listen, there's been a lot of questions about your dad, my career, whether I doped or did not dope. I've always denied that. And I've always been ruthless and defiant about that. You guys have seen that. It's probably why you trusted me on it. Mm-hmm. I want you to know that it's true. I said, don't defend me anymore. Don't. Do not defend me. Just say, hey, my dad said he was sorry.
If you watch that entire interview, he talks about how his son was like on Instagram and Facebook having full-on arguments with people saying, no, my dad is not a drug addict, because he honestly believed that, no, my dad is not an addict. And then he said to him, no, just say yes, because I am. And he had to admit to his son, and that's not easy. That's difficult. I mean, you look at your dad or your mom or someone in your life who's like your hero, and it's like they've fallen from grace. It's like Hancock, who's supposed to be this person, and he's fallen from grace. I don't know how many of you know this lady. Her name is, oh, you know her, Marion Jones. Marion Jones was a track and field runner. I think it was like in the 90s, and she won Olympic. Every time there was an Olympic championship, she would take gold. Like, everybody knew her because she was like the fastest American woman who always ran the 100 meters and the 200 and the relay, and she always took gold. Well, she was an addict. It also started with one of her trainers giving her something and saying, no, it's just placebo or something like that. And over time, she became an addict. And the sad thing about her addiction is when she came out eventually and confessed, she was found guilty of doping charges and she went to jail for 6 months. And again, if you go on YouTube and listen to her story, it's so moving because she's now come out of jail and she plays basketball for a team in the States now. And she just goes to schools and to different youth groups and tells people about addiction and tries to help them not go down that path. Because at the end of the day, each and every one of us has a destiny. Hancock had a destiny, but his addiction kept him from it. See the word dream over there? God has called each and every one of us for a specific purpose. And we need to be aware that when you choose to abuse a drug or abuse alcohol, this addiction affects your destiny. It keeps you from your true calling. Ephesians 1:11-12 says, in him we were chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity to his will, so that we who are the first to put our hope in Christ might be for the praise of his glory. I just want to highlight predestined. Predestination means before you were born, before you were a blip in the radar, God had a plan for you. And that plan was for the praise of his glory. It's not just so that we can look cool. He's given you a destiny and a purpose. We all have a purpose. We all have a destiny, a divine calling. And you need to recognize that so that you don't end up in the trap of having something, whatever it is, whether it's addiction or anxiety, or suicide, or any of the issues we've dealt with over the couple of weeks, we need to know that it's because of what God has created us for. That's why we're living. That's why we move and breathe and everything every day. And you need to be aware that you cannot let drugs or any kind of addiction keep you from that. Because imagine what you're missing out. Imagine Lance Armstrong's destiny. Imagine his legacy. We would still be talking about him as that guy who won 7 Tour de France. And he probably would have been still winning others now, you know? But now we'll always look at him. Even his foundation, unfortunately, like people have pulled money away from it. Imagine that. And his foundation was a genuine thing. He wanted to help cancer survivors. But then because of his addiction, people don't want to be affiliated with that. But the cool thing is that there's hope in Christ for each and every one of us. None of your stories have to be like any of the stories I've told here today. You're not a Marion Jones. You're not a Robert Downey Jr. You're not a Hancock. You're not a Lance Armstrong. You are different because you have Christ in you, and there's hope for those who are in Christ. And so how do we fight drugs? The very first thing, you need to decide to abstain. Right now, if you've never tried it, never been offered, if someone offers it to you, just say, peace, thanks. I'm good. I'm all right. I'll go have a Coke. You know? Just choose to abstain. Choose not to go down that road. Don't start doing drugs. It's the best prevention. 2 Timothy 1:9 says, he has saved us and called us to a holy life, not because of anything we have done, but because of his own purpose and grace. Because God has called us to a holy life, then we choose to say no. Because doing drugs does not go along with having a holy life. Keeping that temple clean doesn't go along with having, oh, just one drag of the weed. No, it doesn't work like that. If you choose to say no, then you're keeping the temple clean. The other thing is we need to manage our free time. Your reactions are priceless. I know when we're on holiday, all we want to do is sleep. I know, like, I'm currently working on a job and I'm counting the days. I have like 8 days to go and I'm done. All I want to do is sleep. I don't know about you guys. I just want to sleep and not have an alarm wake me up. But sometimes idleness is not the best thing to do. The Bible says idle hands are the devil's workshop. Idle lips are his mouthpiece. Find something to keep you busy. Even when you're on holiday, hang out with your friends. Go see a movie. Take a walk in the park. Go birding with Pastor Mark. It's a lot of fun, I promise. You find 120 species of birds. You learn something new. Find something to do, something that you enjoy. Make a list. I like to make lists of things I do at certain times of the year. During winter, not so much because it's so cold. But find the things that you know can fill your time that will not distract you. There's a, I think it's like a Swahili proverb that says, an empty tin makes the most noise. So when your tin is empty, it's just like there's got to be trouble. So find things that work for you that can fill your time and deal with stress. That's our third step. And we've talked about this before. If you're worried about something, find someone you can talk to. Write it down. Speak to Father. It's so important for you to lay it somewhere because it's impossible for you to carry it on your own. Galatians 6:2 says, carry each other's burdens, and in this way, you will fulfill the will of Christ. God didn't create us to be individuals just as one. He created us to be a community. And that's why we do Friday nights here, so that we can connect with each other and have people to hang out with and have a reason to do life together. So when something happens, I can pick up the phone and say, hey, Debbie, do you mind having coffee with me? I'm struggling with this thing. Please help me, you know? And these people who you can do that with. Matthew 11:28 says, come to me all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. The ultimate burden carrier is Jesus. Like if there's anything you feel even your friends can't help you, I promise you, if you go to Jesus and lay it at his feet, he will take away whatever it is that's bothering you. The really cool thing about my brother's addiction is that after 6 years of abusing cocaine, he got into recovery, he went into rehab, he got pills that are now sustaining him, the good ones, not the bad ones. And a few years ago, he accepted Christ as his personal savior. And for me, that's the ultimate. Because now his purpose and his destiny and his true calling is back on track. He doesn't have an addiction that's distracting him. And it's so important for you to realize the value of a relationship with Christ because he's the one who's called us so that we can lay our burdens down. That's why he died on the cross, so that we can lay our burdens at his feet and live a life free, literally, guys. Like, do what you want. He's done it. That's why he died on the cross. But there's a road to recovery as well. If you're an addict or if you know someone who's been using drugs. Because recovering from addiction is a long process. Like I just mentioned, my brother is still taking pills and every so often he has to go to the psychologist who gives him drugs because it's just to help him cope with that need that had been created by the drugs. And it's important for you to be committed and find time and the necessary support. And the first thing you need to do is to admit you have a problem. And we've said this before, whether it's anger or anxiety or depression, you need to look yourself in the mirror and admit, this is a problem. I need to deal with it. Second thing is you need to identify the triggers. And for different people, it's different things. So maybe it's the people you hang out with. Maybe it's certain situations, like maybe when it's Christmas and everyone travels home and you get lonely. That might be a trigger for you. Maybe it's certain places you hang out. Your friends like to go to this restaurant or to a certain club and you just feel like I can smell. Like I have a very strong sense of smell. I can smell weed a mile away. Like, I can just tell you, I know what that is. And I can tell you, no, that's a cigarette. And maybe that's what it is for you, that there's an environment where you just know, this is not healthy for me. Make the choice. Identify the triggers and stay away from them. Then look for support. And for Hancock, his support was Ray. Because Ray showed him a different way of living life. He showed him, you can be transformed if you make these choices. You can't rely on someone else to quit with you. That doesn't work. You can't rely on another junkie like, hey, let's do it together. Let's go. It's not going to work. Because it's like the blind leading the blind. Okay? So you need to look for support from families or friends or a support group. Join a support group. And there's even Christian support groups. Because being around other people who are trying to recover from addiction is good for you. There's hope in that. It shows you that this is a very real way of getting over your addiction, because other people have been through the same struggle. And one of the very common resources is Narcotics Anonymous, and it's a worldwide organization, and there's a South African region one. You can go on there. It's a website where you can find a meeting, you can contact a helpline, you can find help. I even stumbled upon a support group in Cape Town that's a Christian one, where these people are believers and they're really trying to get over their addiction. So find help. There's, I don't know how else to emphasize it. It's so important for you to speak to someone. If you don't know which someone to speak to, come ask us. We'll point you in the right direction and we'll show you how to walk the walk towards recovery. And lastly, you need to go for counseling, because as much as it's affected you physically and emotionally and spiritually, you need to find a way to go back to that place that God has called you to, where you can start over and start afresh. To be able to work one-on-one with someone who trusts you, it's someone who's comfortable enough to listen to your issues. Because sometimes there's some people you don't want to tell because you're afraid they're going to judge you or they're going to condemn you. But the cool thing is, in the body of Christ, we're not here to condemn you. The word of God says there's therefore no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus. I can't stand here and point a finger at you and say, you, no. That doesn't exist in the body of Christ, because we're all here to help each other. And so just a quick summary of the steps of how to fight drugs. So number one, decide to abstain. Number two, manage your free time. Go read a book. Go watch a movie. Go walk in the park. Number three, deal with stress. If you're stressed, please talk to someone. Write in your journal. Get it off your chest. Admit the problem. Very important. Identify the triggers around you. Look for support and go for counseling. And like we do every week, we have a handout today. Ask you to pass this around. The reason why we give you these handouts every week, guys, is when you're in the midst of going through your week, like she shared with us, you want to remember what slap means. You want to remember, oh my gosh, I think my friend is doing drugs. What was I supposed to say? What is number one? So take this handout, stick it on a wall somewhere in your bedroom, carry it in your Bible, have it in your pocket, so that the moment someone says, oh, I'm struggling with ABCD, and you're trying to remember, what's that verse in the Bible that talks about the temple? You want to whip it out and immediately be able to help them in the moment. So please don't trash it. Stick it somewhere you know you'll be able to see it every day so that you can make reference to it. And of course, we have it on our Facebook page as well. So if you're unable to carry it around with you, go to our Facebook page. And actually, you know, a cool thing to do is to sit down with someone and say, oh, you know, we did this cool thing in church on Sunday. Do you mind if I show you the slides? It was about Hancock. And then sit with them and just show them. And eventually, teach them what you've learned, because that's what it's about. We'd like you guys to pass on this information to someone else. All right? I want us to pray real quick, but I want you to just take a moment. I know I shared about my brother, and before I moved here, he hadn't gotten over his addiction. So when I jumped on a plane to come to South Africa, I was to a certain extent hopeless, because I honestly didn't think there was a way out. I just thought he'd be an addict for life. But 2 years into my trip here, that's when he recovered and accepted Christ as his personal savior. And for me, I was like, oh, God answers prayers. I know sometimes, you know, when people say pray in faith and you're like, yeah, I will. But this, like, your brain is thinking, God can do this, but he can't quite do that. I promise you, there is power in prayer. There's power in agreeing that God can save my friend. God can save my brother. God can save my sister, my mother, my father, whoever it is. And so I'm going to ask each and every one of you to close your eyes. And I want you to think about that person who you shared about earlier. When I asked you to share, either whether it's you or someone else, Think about that person and have a picture of them in your mind. And just as we pray, ask God to transform that life. Ask God to bring that person out from the darkness and into the light. Father, I thank you so much for your word, and I thank you that you sent your son to die on the cross for us, that we may be able to live free of all of these tough issues. Thank you that we can come before you and just say, Father, heal me. And just in that moment, through your Holy Spirit, you would do that. I pray, Lord, that you'd give us the courage and the faith to tell others about what we've learned here today. Father, give us the courage to admit that we have a problem if we are suffering. Give us the courage to walk the walk of recovery, to be able to find someone to help us walk this road with us. Father, help us avoid the triggers that may get us into that hole where we'll become an addict, that slippery slope where we become reliant on something that you haven't created for us, that is something that works against us. Lord, teach us to focus on you and you only, and give us the strength and courage to say no. When someone walks up to us with a joint or with something, some pill to try, give us the courage to be able to say, I am not ashamed of Christ and I am choosing to say no. Father, help us teach those around us what we've learned today, that we'd be able to help them get out of that pit of addiction. Lord, may we remember why you've called us. Remind us our purpose, our destiny, our divine calling, that we'd always remain focused on that so that we may bring you praise and glory. Because at the end of the day, that's all that it's about. That's why we're here. That's why we're dealing with this series and doing these tough issues, that we may be able to be holy and acceptable sacrifices before you, that we may bring you glory. And so, Lord, as we go out into this week, help us remember what you've taught us. Help us take this handout and stick it somewhere and always remember what the lesson of fighting drugs was about. Thank you, for it's in Jesus' name I do pray. Amen. Next week, we're going to be dealing with fighting breakups.